Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Voices for Change 2.0. We are really glad to have you with us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us this bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Saturday morning and whatever the hell day it is in July
21st, honey, and it's actually really crappy out.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for clarifying. I guess it is. I'm looking out the window now, and it's ugly.
Yeah.
In Detroit today.
So we are really excited because we have found out that, I'm not sure if we mentioned this last week or not, but we got nominated for a WeGo Health Award for our podcast.
Yeah, we are nominated for Best in Show Podcast.
Yeah, Best in Show Podcast. And there's quite a few people that are nominated. We're in a very, very, you know, what's the word
I'm looking for? It's I know what you're trying to say, yeah. And I can't say it either.
We're among good company. Let's just
We'll put it that way.
Yeah,
we're among good company.
Yeah, we're excited about that. And if you're interested at all at endorsing us, if you're one of our regular listeners and you enjoy what we do here, you can endorse us. If you find my Twitter page at Becca Lombardo, BekaLombardo. Find my Twitter page and you'll be able to see it on there. But yeah, we're really excited about it. I also was nominated for a blog and Best in Show Twitter. So I'm grateful to whoever nominated me. Unfortunately, they don't tell you, but I'm grateful to whoever nominated both of us and me, and we're pretty excited about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And do you know when actual voting starts, honey?
I think it's August 17th, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
They do it in these different stages where first you're getting endorsed and then people have to go back and vote, which has some downsides to it because people kind of feel like, well, hey, I already did this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the way that they do it. And, you know, it seems to be working for them. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we'll give you a heads up when voting starts, and, you know, we would really be honored if, especially if you went on and took the first step and endorsed us, if you went back and actually voted for us, we'd be very grateful. So
absolutely.
Thank you. And just in general, we're very grateful if you're listening to the show either now or on playback. It's kind of humbling. You know,
yeah, it really is.
You know, we're really honored to have the following that we do. And so thank you guys. You know, I just want you to know that we appreciate all the support that we get from everybody. So thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you guys to no end. So also would like to let you know that you can call in live today to speak to our guests. Or to speak to us, whatever you want to do, as long as it's as long as it's decent.
yeah, there is that. The number is 347-989-0126. So please feel free to reach out. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I think that should do it.
There's one other thing. I'm gonna keep bringing this up. We are looking for advertisers. So if you've got something to advertise, a product or service or book or movie or blog or whatever you want to raise awareness on, please reach out to me on Twitter at PowerSlave1974.
Just like it sounds.
Yep.
Power Slave 1974.
It sounds naughtier than it is. It's an album from Iron Maiden from back in the
80s. Okay, we don't need to go into that.
No. You know, but so just reach out to me if you're interested in advertising.
One last side note is that we did find out a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now, that we have been accepted by Spotify as well. So we're on iHeartRadio and Spotify, which I guess is you know, pretty prestigious.
Yeah.
You know, they have quite a selection process. I know I waited a good 4 to 6 months to hear from both of them. So we're really excited about that. And, you know, if you want to listen on Spotify or iHeartRadio, you want to look for Voices for Change 2.0. Mm-hmm. In some places, it's VFC 2.0. On iTunes, I believe, when you go to the Left of Straight network, you will find us as VFC 2.0.
Yep. So there are a lot of options for you to catch our show.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
Please do.
All right. So today we need to get moving into the show here. So we are talking with a blogger, an author, an up-and-coming author, and a mental health advocate from across the pond. She is what she likes to refer to herself as Geek Magnifique.
I love that.
Her name is Melissa Boyle. Are you there, Melissa?
I am. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yourself?
Oh, we're doing fine.
Doing okay. You know, getting older, falling apart. That's what you do. But but
good.
No, we're good. Yeah. So, you know, thanks so much for joining us today. I know
my
it's
pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's 11 o'clock here. What time is it where you're at?
It's 4 o'clock here.
Oh, that's very cool. See, that's nice. When we're talking with somebody, you know, overseas in England.
They don't have to get up early.
Right, yeah. It's a leisurely stroll over to the phone. And they're good, you know. We talked to somebody that's on the West Coast here in the States, and they're like, oh, my God, good morning.
Yeah, I feel kind of guilty about
yeah.
that.
So, we're honored to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So if you don't have any questions for us, we're just going to dive on in.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Okay, so tell us, where does your mental health journey begin?
It started really when I was about 8 years old. So a long old time ago now. So I'm 30 now. And I've struggled with OCD since I was 8. It started out as kind of like ritual based counting to certain numbers, and that sort of thing. And then over the years it kind of morphed and changed, and now it's kind of more contamination based. Along the way as well, I sound like I was just collecting things, but along the way, I kind of developed a emetophobia, which is a phobia of vomiting, if anyone doesn't know. And then, you know, throughout my 20s, I went through a rough period of, like, kind of depression and anxiety, kind of related to a lot of different things that was going on at the time. That's it, really. And then kind of a few years ago, I just decided to start talking about my story, sharing it on my blog, and then that's led me to all sorts of cool places like the book and all sorts of other things. So yeah, it's been a long journey.
Okay.
Oh, we have not had very we haven't had anyone come on to talk about
emetophobia.
We have had an OCD guest, but that was quite some time ago, so
yeah,
it's going to be a whole new experience for us.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, I'm one of those people that has, you know, an aversion to vomiting, and I'm going to try and keep this light because I know it's an upsetting topic for all involved. But you know, I imagine that having an aversion to it is nothing like what you deal with. I would ask you to elaborate, but I don't want to be all triggery and stuff. So.
My point of view, it's not a problem. I'm happy to talk openly about it, so it's no problem for me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Why don't we talk about it a little bit and get out in the open.
Shed
it
some
would
light
be,
on.
It
that.
Would be difficult for us, I think. I have constant migraines, and they unfortunately cause me to vomit on a regular basis, so that would be very, very difficult. I can't imagine.
Yeah, and for me, I just, if I'm doing it, you know I'm sick. You know, I just, it's something that I actively combat, and just, I don't. I just, so when it does happen to me, you know, the wife knows, okay, he's calling into work and everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of, in a way, that's similar to me. So a common thing about emetophobia is that most sufferers are very rarely sick. So, and no one really knows if it's kind of because the body sort of stops them being sick because of the phobia, or if the phobia has come about as a result of not really being sick, if that makes sense. So because it happens rarely, it's more of a big event kind of thing. So I always had a bit of an aversion. I remember as a kid, I kind of, you know, I wasn't sick very often, tried to avoid it as much as possible. And then I think when I was probably about 16 or 17, it kind of really, I don't know, just morphed into something new and really scary, and suddenly I was terrified of it, and I don't know why. And it just, a few years, it kind of just controlled my life. I wasn't really eating, I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't taking care of myself because I thought I was doing these things to stop myself getting sick or catching bugs or whatever. So at my worst, I'm a lot better now, thankfully, but at my worst, it was really bad. It really did control my life.
Wow.
Wow. I never had any idea that was a thing.
Yeah. And I have to apologize really quick to you and our listeners if I'm coughing a bit today. I got a tickle in my throat that I can't seem to get rid of. Sorry about that.
No worries.
So what motivated you to come forward with your story, Mel?
Really, I think it came from a place, well, it's just sort of thinking, do you know what? I'm not alone. There must be other people out there that are going through similar things. And I found the online mental health community. So on Twitter, there's a lot of like Twitter chats for mental health and a lot of other mental health bloggers. And I just thought, do you know what? I want to be a part of this. I want to kind of share my story. And if I help one other person feel less alone, I see that as really worthwhile. So I guess that's why I did it, really.
That's awesome. You know, it's, and there really is, we've talked about it before, that there's a great community, especially on Twitter.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, we all consider ourselves very much a family, you know, and, you know, if one of us is having a bad day, right away you're getting a message from 5-10 different people at least saying, hey, hang in there, you know, you got this, and, you know, there's a great support network. You know,
very early on. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to say it really is wonderful. It's so nice. I mean, if I'm, like you say, if I'm having a bad day, I get DMs from people saying, you know, I've been through this, you're fine, you'll get through this too. And I get lots and lots of support. And it's just nice as well because I didn't have any friends in real life that went through what I did. And then when I found all these other people online with emetophobia, everyone kind of understood because it's so irrational and it doesn't make any sense. You tell a lot of people and they're like, oh, I don't really get that. But when I found all these people online that were like, oh, I get what you mean. I did the same thing. And it was really, really nice to kind of have that support from people who knew what I was going through, I guess.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's one of the good things. You know, everybody talks about the evils and the ills of social media, but that's really one of the good things about it is you don't feel so alone, you know, and, you know, people reach out to you and you can reach out to others that are struggling, you know, and that's, you know, the altruism of it is just, excuse me, it's great.
Yeah, early on there was a lot of trolls, at least that I noticed. That were trolling my page and would say, you know, rude or nasty things. And as soon as somebody else in the, I guess, family sees that somebody is going through something like that, they just rally around you and, you know,
yeah,
basically make the troll look like, you know, what they are, a troll.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. It's if I was scared to come forward at first, you know, and I didn't understand Twitter at all. I could not figure out what a hashtag was to save my life. And I just, I just spent enough time on there to start figuring it out. And once I did, I was really glad because everybody is so great.
Yeah, it's funny. She goes from not understanding hashtags at all to having one of the most popular ones on Twitter.
That's amazing, yeah.
You know.
No, it is really great. And I mean, a lot of my Twitter friends and online friends in general have become in real life friends as well, which is lovely. So there's lots of meetups and things, and I've actually been able to kind of put faces to Twitter handles, meet people, and it's been really lovely. It's really given me a kind of sense of community. So, yeah, I'm definitely glad I did it.
Yeah.
Where do you live? I'm not 100% sure on that.
So I'm in Bournemouth, which is the southwest coast of England.
Oh, okay.
Mm, okay, cool. I gotta ask this just because of my own stupid curiosity. You get my Twitter handle, right?
Remind me what it is again.
It's PowerSlave 1974.
No, I don't, I'm afraid. I did hear you mention it. Is there a song or an album, did you say? But no, I wouldn't have got that, I'm afraid.
No,
it's not everybody in England knows who Iron Maiden is. It's not how it works. It's just like them saying everybody in America plays Bruce Springsteen or something. It's ridiculous to assume.
It's so weird that you said Bruce Springsteen, because I thought to myself, she's going to say Bruce Springsteen. That was weird. So no, I just got a chuckle out of it. I had to ask. I'm sorry. I'm dumb.
No. Yeah. I gotta rein him in. Sorry about that.
It's fine.
We're very determined at some point before either of us dies to actually take a trip to England. I just want to go.
Yeah.
You know? We both love it so much. You know, that's definitely a bucket list travel decision. So.
Definitely. And likewise, I really want to come to the States as well. I've never been, so I'd have to go.
Well, wait until we get a different administration in here, because right now they're just bonkers.
I was thinking,
yeah.
Yeah, let's not go into that.
Yeah, but anyway.
Let's proceed with the interview here.
The questioning, as it were. Oh, I thought you were going to ask.
Oh, okay, sorry. So would you take some time to tell us about your blog, what it's called, and what can our listeners expect to find there?
Okay, so I'm peakmagnifique.co.uk, and I'm a bit of a mishmash, really. I kind of started out, I wanted to be like wedding planning and general lifestyle. So there's a bit of wedding content on there, a bit of kind of general, you know, what I'm up to. A lot of food talk. I do talk about food a lot on my blog, mostly pizza. Lots and lots of food and, mental health. And it's all kind of my own experiences, my journey with CBT, with taking medication. Just all my own experiences, really. That's it, really. It's just kind of, it's been a bit sporadic of late because I've kind of been focusing on the book and other things. But I'm trying to get back into a habit of uploading regularly and actually having content on there and doing a bit more locally as well, because it's only been kind of recently that I've been involved with like Bournemouth bloggers, and there's a big network of bloggers in the area, and we go to different events and things. So I'm trying to get involved in things more locally as well, which is cool.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I was perusing it last night. The blog and the website, and I love how eclectic it is. You know, and like you said, you talk about food, and then you talk about something mental health related. Then you'll talk about food, and then
I like that word eclectic. I think it's a bit of a mess sometimes, but eclectic's a good word. I like that.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really great. I love the whole layout of it because it's very, you know, you don't know what to expect when you first land there, and it's so, you know, if you can't find something good to read on it, there's something wrong with you. You know, it's very, I love it. It's well done. So, good on you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, with that, we are going to head out and take our first break. Our producer Scott is he's being very creative today with where he's producing. we don't know what you'll be listening to, but it'll probably be good. So we'll see you on the other side.
Cool. Awesome. See you back.
Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. The beautiful woman sitting next to me is Rebecca. Hi, baby.
Hello.
How you doing?
Shut up.
And we have on the line today the wonderful, lovely, and talented Miss Melissa Boyle, all the way from across the pond in England, the geek magnifique. Hiya.
She's très bien.
Hello. You guys are adorable together, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm kind of crazy about her. I can't help it.
So, aww.
Yeah.
We're coming up on 17 years, and we're getting to where we're finishing each other's sentences and stuff. And it happens, and I just kind of get the heaves, and I'm like, oh, this is so annoying. People are so annoyed with us.
Yeah, we apologize for any vomit that we induce from being so sugary sweet.
Yeah.
So.
No, I love sugary sweet. That's all good.
So we were talking before the break about your blog, and like I said yesterday, I was perusing it and looking at all sorts of different stuff, and I would love if you would explain to me what honeybee cards are.
Oh, okay. So that's a little venture I started, I think it was last year now, actually. And it's basically how it started was when I was going through a really low point in my life, I was really struggling with anxiety and just things were kind of, you know, not great. And a good friend of mine sent me a Get Well Soon card. And I remember thinking, oh, that's really, really sweet. That's so thoughtful of him. But I thought the sentiment's not really quite right. It didn't seem like it was, you know, suitable for kind of what I was going through. So then I thought, well, do you know what? I know what I would want to hear from my friends. Things like, you're not alone, and I don't mind if you want to, you know, hide under your bed and be antisocial. I'll still be there for you, that kind of thing. I thought, you know, there's things that people want to hear when they're really going through a low point. So I turn those things into cards, basically. So they're kind of get well soon cards for people that are struggling with anxiety, depression, or any sort of mental illness, really. So I try to keep them kind of funny, a bit silly, but also, you know, meaningful. And like I said, the things that I would have wanted to hear from my friends and the things that I think people do want to know, that they're not alone, that they're, you know, that they're not. I think something that's really common is people think they're being a burden. They think they're annoying their friends if they're not being, you know, their sparkly normal selves. And I think I wanted to convey with the cards that that's not the case. You know, friends are friends through thick and thin, and it doesn't matter. So that's it, really.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I do too.
I love that. I think you're completely spot on with, you know, with what you're putting out there with it. I love it, you know.
So people can order them from your blog?
Yes. So if you go to geekmagnifique.co.uk/shop, you can buy the cards straight from there. And I would like to just say as well, they're going to be redesigned soon, because I'm not an artist by any means, and I just kind of doodled them myself. But I've enlisted the help of a friend who's going to redesign them, and then we're going to expand the range. We're going to do some seasonal cards. We're going to, yeah, there's a lot more coming, so watch this space.
That's cool.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. I wish I could have gotten in on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And don't discount your doodles. I thought they were cute.
Oh, well, thank you.
So, now we've come to the part of the show that I think we're kind of looking forward to. Please tell us about your book.
Yes, my book. So it still hasn't really sunk in that there's actually going to be a book out there on bookshelves, and it's about my life. So it's quite daunting to know that people that I grew up with, friends of mine, family, people are going to be reading this book, and it's all out there. It's all on the page. It's all me, my childhood, everything. So I felt like I did have a story to tell. And again, I think that there'll be people that can relate to it. But it's at the same time, I don't go into as much detail on my blog. I kind of pick and choose what I share, and not for any particular reason. It's just that's how it's ended up being. It's been sort of my recent life and select things. And then this is just everything. So it's very exciting, a bit scary, but it's, yeah, exciting.
So you're kind of taking the, excuse me, kind of taking the lid off of everything with the book and what you're talking about.
Exactly. So
cool.
I was really, really fortunate. My publisher, Trigger Publishing, they actually found my blog, and they thought I had some interesting things on there, and they thought that there would be a story there that I could expand on and kind of go into in a bit more detail, and that's how it all came about, really.
That's funny, because that was going to be my next question, is how did you connect with Trigger I was looking at their site too, you know, because it takes you to their site when you click on the link that you sent us for the book. And
yeah.
They look like just a great resource for different kinds of mental health disorders. I was really surprised by that.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're quite a new, I think they've only been around a couple of years, and they're a little independent publisher, but they do all sorts of great stuff. So they've got two main series of books that they do. So I'm in the inspirational series, which is people's real life stories and their roads to recovery and kind of, yeah, their own experiences. And then they've got another series, which is more kind of experts and doctors and counselors talking about kind of things on a more, on a more sort of practical professional level. So all in all, I think it's, yeah, it's great. And I know they've got big plans for lots more books over the next couple of years. So I think it's very exciting.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Another thing I wish I would have gotten in on when I put my book out.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been helpful.
Yeah, if you need any tips or I'm sure you're fine, but if you need any tips or you just need to, you know, bounce something off of somebody who's been through putting out a book about her life, don't hesitate to message me on Twitter.
Thank you.
It's a little bit overwhelming at first if you're not ready for it. So,
yeah,
just give me a shout if you need to chat about anything.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I mean, that was I think it's probably the hardest thing about writing a book, kind of thinking to myself, do I want everyone to know that about me? Do I want to share this? And most of the time, I managed to sort of convince myself that it would be a good idea, but there is still a little part of me that's kind of, I guess, yeah, like I said, nervous. It's just it's kind of a big deal, I guess, for me to kind of, yeah, to put myself out there. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is kind of a big deal. You're putting yourself out there and, you know, kind of taking off all the window dressing for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. And
one thing I will say to you is that you definitely want to grow a thick skin I'm not sure that, you know, you'll be like me in any way, but when the first few times, you know, I guess it would be, I got two bad reviews in the first few months. And my first instinct was to write to them and ask them what the problem was and why they were so mean and blah, blah, blah. And it didn't do me any service at all. It was a terrible idea. It just got me into an argument with a moron. And it was horrible. So just be ready. That isn't to say that you'll get any negative reviews, but should you, just kind of be ready for that portion of it.
Yeah, it's a little
shocking.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I try and tell myself, again, with my blog, I try and tell myself that not everyone's going to like the content I'm putting out. That's just how things are. So I kind of tell myself that if someone doesn't like it, that's fine. You know, you're not going to please everybody. So I do try and remind myself of that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you know, I can really say about it is just, you know, if you get those, just, yeah, it's their opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion and, you know, move on and, you know, be grateful for the good ones that you get, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a big thing for me as well, and without, you know, spoiler alerts, but I do talk about my relationship with my family in quite a bit of detail, and it's not a good relationship, I'll be honest. So there's a lot to go into with that. And, you know, it got to a point where my publisher was sort of saying, you know, were you worried that there could be legal, you know, ramifications? Are you worried that they might sue you? And I, you know, I'm not saying anything that isn't true, but there was that kind of fear that, actually, yes, I am kind of divulging some, you know, very personal stuff and things that other people might not be too happy about. And so I sort of had to prepare myself for, like, an emotional fallout and kind of if they do get in contact with me and they're not happy, I've got to kind of prepare myself for that. So that's been a big thing as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you have enough self-awareness to realize that that could be coming down the pike for you and, you know, you're ready for it. So you'll be good.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
So.
No worries.
So what advice do you have for someone recently diagnosed with OCD or any of the disorders you may have?
I didn't quite hear.
What advice do you have for someone recently diagnosed with OCD or any of the other disorders that you may have?
Oh, okay. I guess my main advice would be not to Google too much. You know, there are good resources out there, but at the end of the day, there's also, you know, Googling things is sometimes not a good idea when it comes to things related to health. I would say go to your doctor. Obviously, you know, if you've been diagnosed, you've spoken to your doctor, but they'll give you resources. They'll be able to signpost you to people that you can talk to, services. I mean, I don't know what it's like over there for you guys, but my doctor referred me to a local service called Steps to Wellbeing, which is like a free counselling service. So I guess just ask lots of questions, get all the resources you can. Try not to kind of compare yourself to too many other people because, you know, on the flip side of all these mental health bloggers, there is the downside that, you know, not everyone is the same and everyone's got different experiences. And, you know, if someone's recovery is different to yours or is quicker or they don't have as many obstacles, then that's not a bad thing, obviously, because everyone's different. So I guess try not to read too much online and try not to kind of compare yourself to too many other people.
That's very good advice. Very good.
Yeah, that's the one thing is, you know, all the disorders that are out there, you know, Beth can say, she has bipolar disorder, and you can say you have OCD and all this stuff. But everybody's experience with these disorders is completely different. You know,
absolutely.
Just like everybody looks different, you know, and, you know, everybody's genetic makeup is different, you know. So, you know, it helps, in my opinion anyway, it helps that, you know, like you're putting out your story, Beck put out her story. The more that we see this, I think the better it is for others that are dealing with these same afflictions because, you know, maybe they'll go through the same thing you went through and maybe they won't, but, you know, they'll have a better understanding now of, you know, what they're dealing with. You know, it's a better understanding of, you know, for their families, what they may or may not have to expect, you know, different things like that. I think it's absolutely great that there's such a wide berth of information out there for people to read, you know, beyond
Google. And utilizes it as well. If there's conversations happening and there's all these resources online, it normalizes it. It makes people feel like, okay, well, this is a thing that people go through and I'm not weird, I'm not abnormal. And I think that's a really positive thing as well.
Exactly. You know, and that's a key thing, you know, because, you know, it's scary getting that diagnosis. You know, it really is. You know, when it's an initial thing and you feel kind of lost, you know. I felt like that a few years back when I was diagnosed with diabetes. You know, I'm like, well, what do I do now? You know, and you know, I had to fight the urge to Google everything associated with it because I have a bad habit of getting into my own head on stuff. And
oh yeah,
he used to be on WebMD. If I sneezed wrong, he would go on WebMD and look it up. And you know, WebMD is, you know, they'll probably sue me for this, but they're a terrible website. The stuff that they come up with when you put in your symptoms, it's unbelievable. Well, your arm's gonna fall off now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you've got you could have a cold, or you know, your butt could fall off, or, you know, I mean, they cover the range. I mean, you get everything that it could be, and that's comprehensive, and that's kind of nice. But by the same token, now you've got 15 different afflictions swimming around in your head, and you're like, oh my God,
exactly.
My ass is falling off, you know?
Exactly. And
so,
that's
exactly
what I meant when I said, you know, don't Google too much. Don't read into things too much. I think it's important to kind of, obviously it's important to research and like use different resources, but that's why I would say personally, you know, speak to the doctor, speak to professionals and get advice from them and they can signpost you because otherwise you're just going to, like you say, convince yourself that you're going to die or something horrendous is happening to you, and that's only going to make things worse. So.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And I think going back to, going back to diagnosis and things, one of the things I talk about in my book, and one of the things that was very difficult for me to kind of deal with was when I was a child, obviously, I don't think a lot was really known about OCD, and I don't think, or if it was, it wasn't talked about, it wasn't anywhere near as sort of, you know, quote unquote mainstream as it is now. And I think that was very scary. I was 8 years old and I was doing these things and I didn't know why I was doing them. And I had no explanation for it. Nobody sort of said to me, oh, you might have OCD. I wasn't ever taken to the doctor. Like, it was very alien, and I didn't really understand kind of when you're doing these rituals and these compulsions and things and you don't know why you're doing them, you just kind of think, well, I must be odd. There must be something wrong with me. And I think it's really great that, you know, there's probably children out there now that are going through what I went through, but they have these resources and it's talked about and it's open. And I think that's really great. And that's something that, you know, I really wish I had when I was a child.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that. You know, I can see now, looking back, you know, as an adult, as times when I was dealing with straight up anxiety as a, you know, third, fourth, fifth grader. In that area, not wanting to go to school and crying and telling my mom I had a stomach ache and a headache.
Yeah.
And she would just kind of get on my case about getting up and getting to school. And usually after I was there for a few hours, I was fine. But it was just this panic and anxiety thing about just going to school. So,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
I know it goes all the way back to then.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah. We mentioned this on, I think, our last show, that we saw, you know, that finally they're starting to implement mental health education in schools.
Yeah.
Two states here, New York and Virginia in particular, are actually making it part of the curriculum now, and we think that's absolutely great. And I think that's what's really necessary.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, you know,
definitely.
Having.
And it's... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I feel like I just keep interrupting you. Sorry.
No.
I was just going to say, we have a very, you know, it's talked about a lot in this country now as well. And there's a lot more resources being put into place in schools. And I think that's fantastic. I mean, locally, we've got a scheme called ELSA, which is Emotional Literacy Support, I think is what that stands for. And it helps children that are going through difficult periods of anxiety or maybe bereavement or, you know, their parents are divorced. And it helps them kind of process their emotions in a way that they can understand, and it makes it fun for them. And kind of they use puppets and coloring, and they have these people there in place to support them. And I think that sort of thing is so valuable.
Yeah, that sounds like a great program.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is. I think it's great.
You know.
I don't like
well, Beck doesn't like puppets, but I like puppets. So, so there's that. All right, so this next question, it actually comes from one of your blog posts that I read yesterday. And I love the subject. I love the subject matter on it, so I wanted to ask you about it, what your feelings are today, because this is a blog post that you put out, I believe it was last October. What are your feelings today on the portrayal of mental health in movies and on television?
Well, I mean, I haven't really, since that blog post, I haven't really encountered many more different portrayals. It's not something that I think it is talked about more openly on TV. And I know that there's been a few, in this country, we've got a few soaps like Coronation Street and... I think it was Hollyoaks had a suicide storyline that dealt with it really sensitively. And I think it is becoming, so I can't draw from any specific examples, but I think overall, I think it's good that TV shows are trying to address these things, and they're getting advice from people about how to kind of portray it sensitively. And I think that's definitely a positive thing. I guess obviously the big one as well that everyone was talking about is 13 Reasons Why. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've...
Yeah, we've watched it.
We watched it, yep.
It was a little bit difficult for me because I'm recovering from self-injury, and they did a lot of that focus on that. And, you know, the first season, the suicide scene was really, really hard for me. It was really difficult.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, they're not kidding around with...
They didn't sugarcoat anything.
Yeah. It's just...
No.
What frustrates me are these... There's still TV shows out there that are allowing script writers to say things like, oh, quit acting so bipolar, or oh my God, I'm so OCD about that. You know, and that's what's frustrating for me.
Yeah, I've actually not noticed so much of that. And I'm of the opinion that, you know, all the things I've seen, it has been dealt with more sensitively, and terms like that aren't just thrown around willy-nilly. So I think there's a lot of positive things that are happening and a lot of improvements, but I guess we've probably still got a long way to go before it's dealt with the way it should be dealt with, maybe.
Yeah.
There was one thing Beck and I were actually talking about the other day. We're big fans of that show, Orange is the New Black. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not.
Yes, I watched the first couple of seasons.
Okay. And one observation that we made is the treatment of inmates that do have various mental health issues. Beck made comparisons to the last time that she was hospitalized and how she was treated versus how they're representing, you know, some of these ladies are treated, their treatment.
In prison.
In prison. That was, they're representing something that was, a lot easier. I don't want to say easier to deal with because, prison isn't exactly the most easy thing to deal with, but
nice.
More humane, I'll say that way,
than
how she was treated, you know.
You know, it's just funny because I see a lot of parallels between my last experience in a hospital and this, prison on TV. And what Joe's referring to is me sitting there watching it, thinking to myself, my God, these people, some of them killed people and they've got more rights than I had in a hospital. I was not homicidal. I had never hurt anybody or even thought of hurting anybody. I hadn't stolen anything. I hadn't done drugs. I was there because I was severely depressed. And I was just treated like a number, basically,
Less than.
Yeah. So.
That's shocking to hear, to be honest.
And that's... We always ask our guests about their experience, obviously, but when I hear something good about a good hospital experience, it makes me feel a little bit better for what I've been through. I don't hear as many horrible experiences like what I went through anymore. So I think it's more isolated than it once was. I think people are doing better with it.
I think things have changed a little. And they're recognizing how, you're dealing with a human being, and they have to be treated as a human being, in spite of what emotional problems they might have,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you feel we're doing today as far as battling this whole stigma on mental health condition? How do you think we're doing? What do we need to do going forward?
I think the fact that we're having these conversations and the fact that, we talked about the online community and there's so many charities and things doing great work and the fact that it is being normalised and talked about, I think is incredible and I think that's really positive. But I think we do still have a long way to go. There are still people that don't really understand that, mental illness isn't just all in your head. It's as serious as physical illness and it can be as debilitating. And I think there's a lot of people that don't still understand that. And I think that we have a long way to go maybe in terms of kind of I guess getting that understanding there and kind of giving it the, I don't know how to say it actually. yeah, I think we've still got a ways to go is what I'm trying to say, I think.
Okay.
Another question I have for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a long way to go too, but like I said before, when I first joined Twitter a few years ago,
there was a lot of trolls and a lot of bullies, and I don't know if it's just because I've gotten good with the block button or it's actually, you know, the atmosphere is improving, but I think there have been some improvements just, you know, speaking generally about Twitter, there have been improvements and people are more open to discussing what's going on with
absolutely.
Them and helping others.
And you talked about trolls, and I'd just like to say that I've encountered one troll maybe in the whole time I've been on Twitter, and I think actually that's quite incredible, really. I was kind of expecting when I started talking about mental health and sharing my story, I was expecting more, and I was kind of pleasantly surprised that I didn't encounter it, so I definitely think it's improving,
Yeah,
I think people are finally realizing that, you know, compassion is, you know, kind of a big deal, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is the bottom line. And I think, you know, we just have to be kind to each other. And I think people are getting better at realizing there's a person behind that keyboard and that there's a real person, you know, attached to that Twitter account. And I think that's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Unless they're a Russian bot.
So what is next for you? What's coming up?
So the book is out in October, and I'm having a little launch party at the end of the month. And then I've got a couple of events that I'm speaking at, which is terrifying because I always say I'm much better at writing than I am at talking. So we'll see how that goes. Just going to be plugging the book and hopefully going to events up and down the country and just kind of, spreading the word.
What's the title of your book?
It's called Geek Magnifique, Finding the Logic in My OCD.
Okay.
Very
great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's very exciting.
Thank you.
You know, let us know when the book is out so we can,
plug it for you.
Plug it on social media, hype it up.
Oh, fantastic.
And, do you know yet where it will be available?
It's actually available online on, if you search for it, it's available on various, it's available on Amazon mainly and a few other websites. You can order it directly from the publisher as well. Amazon, I guess, is the main one.
Okay.
Cool. Just wanted to make sure that people were aware.
So where can people find you on social media?
So I am at Geek Magnifique on everything. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, but most of my time I'm on Twitter, so that's the best place to grab me for a chat, to be honest.
Very cool. And the website, again, is geekmagnifique.co.uk.
Yeah, that's the one.
Cool. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. Well, we have had a great time talking with you today. We really, really appreciate
you
coming on.
Yeah,
my pleasure. It's been really fun. Thank you.
Yeah, we've loved talking to you, Melissa. And best of luck on the book when it comes out. And keep up the great work that you're doing on your blog. It's entertaining as hell. It really is.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
I love the content you've got on there. And look forward to going back and checking out more of the articles and stuff that you've got, because it really is. There's really good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, we'll stay on the line. We are going to sign off for the day. We hope you guys will be back with us next week, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Yep, have a great weekend, and if it's nasty out, keep dry, and if it's nice out, go and enjoy it.
Yeah, really. All right. Well, here is another song.
Bye. Thank you.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir. Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.